You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Anais Sells. Anais is the author of the forthcoming book, Living Lessons Library, in which she shares the personal and universal lessons that are key to her awakening and lifelong spiritual journey. Tales from the Webbed Garden is a collection of fundamental lessons put together in a collection of personal anecdotes and profound examples of healing, DNA activation, shamanic journeys, and remarkable knowledge that comes from within, all having the power to change reality. Anais is a way-shower, primarily on the cutting edge of energy healing without the use of hardware or technology. She has facilitated workshops, retreats, and taught small groups in the United States and internationally, training hands-on healers through a two-year certification curriculum. And you can find out more on her website, www.livinglessonslibrary.com. And she's also on Facebook. So let's welcome Anais to the show now. Hi, Anais. Anais, how are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm just fine. It's a pleasure to spend some time with you today.
Oh, yes, me too. Me too. And I want to thank Sienna Lee at Rise Multiversity for helping us to set this up as well.
Absolutely. She's amazing.
Isn't she? I just love all the people that she's gathered together. They're some of my favorite guests and wayshowers. I thought that we might start in, we could just jump into what it is that you're doing. And I do have a couple of questions during the show, but maybe you could give us a little background information on how you came to, your present awareness and awakening. What was your spiritual journey, and briefly, and how did that develop?
Well, I don't know that I could do 30 years of a spiritual journey briefly. I think that might not work out for us. But I can say that I'll give you some highlights in terms of a timeline.
Okay.
As a child, I was fairly well endowed with memory when I came into this life, and my parents were very kind and generous people, and they recognized this, and they just used to respond to my little quirky things by saying, oh, she's just been here before. So that was very helpful. And then in 1971, I had my first spontaneous out-of-body experience. And I was really interested in the context of what that was all about from the point of view of both spirituality and consciousness, and finding myself to be able to be in local and non-local states of space and time simultaneously. That was fabulous. Then in 1989, things were progressing along the way, and you know that information is in my forthcoming book. But in 1989, after having reached a point with the out-of-body experiences on my own where I could sort of initiate them at will, I wasn't happy with the experience that I was having, and I felt that the opportunity wasn't being applied correctly, and that I should try to find a way to apply that, what was clearly a skill and a gift, correctly. So I happened to literally be walking in a bookstore when Robert Monroe's book, Journeys Out of the Body, literally fell off the shelf and hit me. As you do know, these things happen. So I picked it up, I bought it, I took it home, I read it in about, 2 days. And I just was so excited, because I really appreciated the technological approach that Bob Monroe was taking and the work he had put together at the Monroe Institute. So within just a few months, I took myself down there and went through their gateway program. And during that, I had a full-on organic what's known as a Kundalini awakening. It took
Oh,
about,
yes. I'm familiar
yeah, it
with
was really
that.
quite interesting. And when I emerged on the other side of that life, I had past life information that filled in some of the gaps of what I hadn't already come in with. And then what I was meant to do here now, and what I've been doing for the last 30 years, which is really helping to hold both a growing energetic space for the raising of mass consciousness to the point where we really are beginning to fully use our encoded gifts. And many of these gifts have been in the junk genes that have been turned off, but Mother Gaia is turning those genes on, and people are popping like popcorn. Very exciting times.
Well, wonderful. Yes, I love Robert Monroe's work, and I've had several guests. I think Carla Fox might be one of them.
She is.
Yes, and they all have extraordinary awakenings through that institute. So I have
It's
a
quite
great
the
deal of respect
place.
for that.
Elizabeth Kubler-Ross also.
Oh, yes, of
Yes,
course.
a lot of people don't know that.
I did not know.
Yeah.
I was reading one of the chapters from your book, which you kindly sent to me, and I just love what you're saying because it maps over my own experiences, and it is a chock full of information that probably most people are not, well, the listeners are aware of, but a lot of people that are just experiencing a daily life are probably not aware of. And I wanted to emphasize this sentence that quantum jumping from clock time, and I interpret that as mind, to heart time. Would you go into that a little bit? Because I think that's the essence of what we're talking about. Part of what we're talking about is going from the mind to the heart.
Absolutely. And time and our relationship to time is, of course, embedded in that process.
Yes.
So most of us who are living our lives within the confines and the limitations and the suppression of mind have a relationship with time that is very limited. It limits our conscious awareness. We have difficulty moving into what I call non-local states of being and awareness. And as a result, we're very frightened of the unknown and we're very frightened of death. And we tend to just feel that what we can experience within the visible spectrum of light and our five senses is all that we need to concern ourselves now, as we journey, we make that journey from the mind to the heart. We move into heart time. We leave clock time behind. And through heart time, we are able then to access, experience, and join into our wonderful co-creative opportunities from a multidimensional point of view.
Right. And as I understand it, the heart actually has, excuse me, has a mind, or a what we would call a mind, that is embedded with it as well.
It has an intelligence.
Yes. Mind is probably the wrong word to use.
It has an extraordinary intelligence that is, of course, at the core of all of creation. And that's the understanding that I like to communicate to people, is once you begin to live and experience yourself in heart time, then you have, in a sense, been granted the keys to the kingdom. Now, that's an internal experience. It's not an experience that you can bring from outside of yourself inside.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a wonderful thing to, and you know, there are people that I so respect in the technology scientific side of this, people like Dan Winter. Dan Winter and I both agree on spiritual hygiene as being a very important part of how you make your journey from your heart into your super consciousness, and from your mind into your heart. And all of this right now is very, very deeply, intimately connected with the intelligence of our planet.
Right. And what many are saying is that we're actually, that the mind is a limitation. It's the slowest in the brain, that is, the mind of the brain, is actually an interference. And that's where the beliefs and patterns keep us stuck in limited thought. And you can see that easily in the way things are phrased in either-or sentences. Are they good or are they bad? Are they this or are they that? And, you know, we can multidimensionally think, but I suspect that that comes from the intelligence of the heart, which taps into the zero point.
Exactly.
Which is where, that's where the, where all information is stored, and it's outside of the mind, and that's where we can tap into the infinite now.
Exactly. And the thing is the mind does serve a very wonderful purpose. In terms of, in my work, I do remote healing work. I do, my particular thing right now is literally helping people to understand how they can rearrange atoms, molecules, their physical bodies, and our environment, how they can work with our natural elements, air, water, land, our green friends, because this is our time to become co-creators.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we're going to be able to really step fully into this in balance is by going through the heart space into no time, which I consider to be the mechanics of a quantum jump.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in the no time, then you're connected to your multidimensional selves, as well as what I would call your infinite being. You have a little meeting there, and your infinite being says, well, you know, darling, the timeline that you're on right now is not optimal for you developing your full co-creative capacity. So I'm going to move you. It's going to take faster than the speed of light. You really won't feel much. You might feel a little disoriented when you land, as if you've misplaced your keys. But honestly, I can do this in the blink, less than the blink of an eye. And I will put you on a timeline that's more in alignment with your path to purpose.
Right. Very nice. I love that. Because it does truly happen outside of, it happens instantaneously. The true change is, it's just an instantaneous process, that the moment you have a thought, for instance, that that's when everything changes.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful process. And the chapter that I sent you really highlights the most recent experience that I have had of a major quantum jump. And I'd like to go into this a little bit more, if you'll let me.
Yes, please.
Okay. One of the purposes of moving through the mind to the heart space and of relaxing into the potential of quantum jumping through the guidance and with the expertise of your infinite being and your meta-dimensional self is that what we will then be able to do is track back to all the instances where our human hearts have been broken.
Mm-hmm.
So that they don't function properly. So when the mind reaches the heart, what it reaches is a mess. So we want to change those dynamics. So when the energy moves up into the heart center, it encounters coherence. So the quantum jump gives us the opportunity, and what I, in the work that I teach, is that the quantum jump will always involve information about what we can think of as past or simultaneous lives in which our hearts were broken, in which we lost electromagnetic charge, we succumbed to emotional pain, we numbed ourselves out, and we dumbed ourselves down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right, and all of those things are just, they're masks that can be removed instantaneously. So, as you said, it sometimes it requires going into what we consider to be the past or the future, and those all exist simultaneously. So the accessing of that point, I've heard, is a matter of just moving it to another timeline, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And these are available to us. And so I've really been having a good time in the last 6 or 7 months with people who have been focusing on the Mandela effect and focusing on the artifacts of what has changed for them, when instead of really understanding the experience of quantum jumping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, where you mentioned our senses, our five senses, the limitation of our five senses, and we know that there's an entire array of senses beyond on either side of the limitation of the five senses, but it does seem that we're kept focused. Our focus is kept on the five senses. Now, many ancient teachings tell us that there are hundreds of subtle senses, and you mentioned this as well, subtle senses that can be accessed, but it requires some stillness of mind and some focus and concentration. So are you aware of the subtle senses and how they
yes.
play?
Oh, yes. And I would say that one of the things I like to encourage people is that when you're becoming still, what you're also going to do is entering a conversation with your body. It's an important part, and a lot of people are trying to escape their bodies. They're trying to escape the planet, when actually what our beloved Mother Gaia and what our Prime Creator is asking us to do is to become soul embodied here on the planet. That requires a wonderful, intimate, loving, very deep connection to your body and your own DNA, your mitochondria, and everything that's going on inside of you, because that's where the information about who we really are is built in to our design.
And there's no such thing as junk DNA, is there?
No. Now, why would Google want to have a patent on junk DNA if it didn't have any value?
So now, there it seems that there are many forces at work, and when I say many, I mean many, that are working in tandem, whether they know it or not, to keep humanity asleep and dumbed down. And of course, you and I are talking about Gaia and the Source stimulating us to awaken like popcorn. And one of those forces is galactic artificial intelligence. You mentioned this as well, and I'm just wondering what role you see that playing in our in keeping humanity asleep.
Well, that's a very interesting question, Lance, and I want to have your audience just consider that all of the technology that we avail ourselves in 3D was once just an idea at the causal realm, and we brought it through into three-dimensional reality with our human abilities, talents, and hands. So it's a logical conclusion to understand that we are superior to the technology.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. We have organic technology, quote unquote, that far surpasses the technologies which are limited, and you know, whether they seem to be advanced or not, they're being touted as great achievements in allowing man to live forever, but we already are infinite and eternal. So these are all just cheap imitations, in my opinion.
Well, I would love to bring a thought moment of distinction, because some of us are infinite, some of us are eternal, because we carry a soul spark from the Prime Creator, and some of us don't. And those of us who don't are seeking physical immortality through the work of the new technology and the gene splicing and all the new, you know, the resurrection of the Atlantean technology, if you will, because they know that when they die, they have no path home. They have no way to go back for rejuvenation and going back into the singularity that is our Prime Creator and reforming and remixing and regenerating and reemerging. They do not have that path home. Mm-hmm. So they would like to stay on this planet and make of this planet a playground for the soulless immortals.
Right. Right, absolutely. Yes, I agree with that as well. And then, of course, that ties into the transhumanism movement.
Absolutely, 2045.
Yeah, 2045, exactly, that the intention has been set to transfer consciousness into a a long-lasting cyborg.
Now, why would we want or need to do that if we understood the nature of our eternal life, the nature of consciousness, the nature of multidimensionality, the fact that we can and do create our bodies, life after life after life? These bodies that we create are specifically encoded to carry out a path to purpose that comes from prime creator to complete creation, not to stagnate it, not to stop it.
Now, has that coding been tampered with by those who have longer lifespans than we have, like thousands or hundreds of thousands of years, and also from the astral and other realms that are interdimensional?
Yes. That's it. The answer is yes.
Would you like to elaborate on that a bit or not?
Well, I would like to give an acknowledgement to the late Lloyd Pye, who I think put together one of the most impressive presentations on the DNA mashup that human beings are. Uh-huh. So when you have a chance, go on YouTube and check, you know, search for Lloyd Pye, and you'll find his presentation. It's just gorgeous, because he shows the pairs and the anomalies in the pairs, and you know, it's really, at that point, you can't miss it. But what's really so powerful is that right now, with the Schumann resonance rising to nearly 36 gigahertz at this point, that's insane, and all the wonderful energies that are bombarding the planet right now, our junk genes are being activated. And we have the opportunity to go in and create, literally with our consciousness, a genetic synthesis with our DNA mashup. So you know what, Lance? I'm going to put one more big one out there, one more big idea today.
Oh, great.
And that is the thing that we have called the human condition. You know that phrase? Oh, it's just the human condition. Why do we have war? Oh, it's just the human condition. Why do we have poverty? Oh, it's just the human condition, right? This is the answer we get. Okay. So I would suggest to you that what is going on, what we think of as the human condition, is a biological conflict in our DNA between the reptilian genetics and the mammalian genetics.
Uh-huh.
Once we synthesize that, game over.
Well, right, and it's interesting that the reptilian brain is centered inside of the fleshy human brain, and I'm guessing that it acts as some kind of sensor and works between the two halves, which are kept divided and not allowed to meet and balance and then transcend themselves.
Right, and that is the importance of bliss hygiene and the Kundalini experience. Because with the Kundalini awakening experience, the organic, natural Gaia light from Gaia and the source travels at incredible speeds that bypass that reptilian neurological break, let's call it a break, and it goes right into the corpus callosum, it ignites the pineal gland, it balances and synchronizes the left and right hemispheres of the brain, and then we are human.
Right, right. So I take it that you also work with somehow reconciling the reptilian side with the human side, that somehow that has to be...
We have to do that, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we have to do that. And it's just, think of it as another form. I love our planet's biodiversity. And our creation is so generous that rather than continue to be at war with these elements, the time has come to just, you know, like we had war between the races and this color person and that color person and this religion and that religion. You know, the planet is done with all of that. She's finished.
I hope so, because yeah. I certainly am.
She's just like had it with that.
Oh, yeah.
So this is just another part of that paradigm that we, you know, coming, rising, releasing his story and rising up into her story, we are empowered to bring synthesis and integration to that dynamic. And there mm-hmm. goes the human condition. And then we're free to make different choices.
So when we see all of these created events like false flags and so on and so forth, and the wars and the greed and the pedophile industry that's run from the top, all of these things, we can truly say that this is all healing. And rather than focusing on the externals outside of ourselves, the projection, we can go within and heal ourselves, and that actually changes the contents of the matrix that we're in.
Well, it liberates us from even believing that we're inside of a matrix. It will dissolve
right.
all the old paradigms. It will and you know, I like to think of dissolution rather than destruction. That's a nicer way to go. And all of that will transform itself organically simply when we become of one heart mm-hmm. as the human mm-hmm. collective.
Well, I've heard people mention that the heartbeat of Gaia and the planets is somehow synchronizing with our own heartbeats.
Absolutely. People are having heart palpitations. You know, the planet Quantum jumped herself the very end of January, and it was amazing. I woke up with a start, and my entire bedroom was vibrating and all kinds of dancing light going on.
Wow.
And could feel a shift in my heartbeat, and I had a funny moment. I thought, oh, the rapture people are right. I really felt like, here we go. It was just spectacular.
Wow.
So, we are going to become of one heart. I would think that's a more powerful unity. And, you know, we've been the victim of spell casting for so long. Thousands of years, 15,000, 12,000, 10,000 years of spell casting.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing when we move into one heart, not unity, we are moving into a one heart paradigm with all of our biodiversity. And that's an important distinction.
That makes so much sense to me. Because people talk so much about oneness and this and that and the other thing and unity, consciousness. But truly, the hearts beating together does make sense. It's a visual that we can all understand.
Yes. And so as we're looking at these things around the world that are causing us pain,
mm-hmm.
you see, the intent of these overlays is to continue to break our hearts
mm-hmm,
and to
mm-hmm.
generate the emotional energy that they then use, because they can only live off of negativity, fear, hatred, and loosh, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When we synchronize our hearts together in that kind of unity, well, then we're starving them to death.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's beautiful. So well said. You know, and especially our negative emotions, which are not natural, and anything that's extremely intense emotions, that's food for those who feed off of us. And
pull you back from that perspective,
okay.
Lance, if I may.
Yes.
It's food for them, but what we haven't awakened to, that it is the creative and the co-creative dynamo for us. And mm-hmm. when we stop feeding them with that intensity and that level of emotion and that distorted addiction to negative imagination, and we reclaim that for our own, all of who we are, our full emotional spectrum becomes available to us as co-creators.
Beautiful. Would you also include the energy of worship and Bedazzlement, for instance, Hollywood stars and the energy of the Pope and great people that are worshipped, that we tend to, we're actually literally giving our own energy, our inner energy to them in the form of worship, which is also another form of food.
Not only do we give them that in worship, we give them our money.
Right. We can see, yes, that's very tangible. Or more appropriate, they take our money.
They take our money with our worship. So we can stop that anytime we like.
Right, right. Well, that gets into the idea of scarcity being a false creation, that there, everything abounds in its overwhelming abundance, that's the truth. And scarcity is a created falsity that we buy into.
Yes. We should stop doing that.
Right.
You know, when I'm teaching and I have people in my courses and I just lay this stuff out for them very simply, very succinctly, a lot of complexity that's boiled down to very, 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 very simple ways to wrap our hearts around as our minds relax, then we begin to understand how we do these things. And we just go ahead and do them. And the simplest way to begin the doing is the choosing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you know, the idea of everything is right in front of us. There are living lessons in our own lives. I remember when my grandparents had a ranch in Goleta, and there was so much food dripping off the trees that we literally couldn't eat it all. It would just drop onto the ground, and then it would feed the ground and the birds and the worms, and it was a beautiful process, and I never forgot that. And yet when I had some of my own awakenings, I realized that everything exists in great abundance, but there is an artificial creation of lack and limitation that we're being fed, and the mind is being kept focused on television and newspapers and world news and horrible things and the virtual reality inside our cell phones. And so that's where your focus goes. That's where your energy goes.
Absolutely. And it's a really big clue to how we are out of relationship.
Yes.
When we are in right relationship with ourselves and our planets in this beautiful heart resonance, we will know the relationship of abundance, because as you say, it is demonstrated, it is clearly visible all around us every single day.
Right, right. And but we're the more we focus on these other things, the more real it becomes.
Well, again, it's a matter of choosing. Why not choose to feel the joy, the excitement of looking outside just on your street? Or in my case, I look out onto a beautiful garden and I see all manner of generosity, natural generosity. And the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is I go and open my front door and I say to everything my eye can see, I love you, thank you, I'm so grateful.
Oh, that's beautiful. And of course, that gets into the healing modality of being grateful and thank you and I love you.
Yeah, those are powerful words. So if you want to get some relief from this spell casting, you can just start with those words.
Right, right. Do you have a daily practice that you do, or can you tell us a little bit more about what you what would your day look like?
Well, my day, I love my days. I do. I get up. Well, I wake up. I do my meditation. I feel my relationship with the planet. I feel my relationship with my body. I feel my relationship with my heart. And then I get myself out of bed, and I'm a coffee drinker. I have my coffee. I open my front door.
Me too. I'm a coffee drinker.
Right?
Yep.
One of my 5 senses pleasures that I'm not planning to give up anytime soon.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I drink the organic stuff, but I drink it.
Right. Good for you.
Right. And so then my practice is to move through my day in joy, gratitude, curiosity, excitement, and seeking the beautiful place of relationship in all its dynamics, because relationship is not a flat line. Relationship, I love the emotional expression I'm able to bring to all of my relationships because I recognize that as co-creative. So my days are spent co-creating.
There was a series that came out a while back, What the Bleep Do We Know Anyway? And they talk quite a bit about co-creation and how things work at the quantum level.
Yes, it's a wonderful thing. And if you stay with this practice as long as I have, you will be in relationship to that understanding in such a way as that you will literally be able to change molecules and move things around and reform them. And when you need to do that in a big way, all of the resources of creation and of our planet will join with you to create the quantum jump.
And that also relates to healing ourselves, doesn't it? That we can talk to our cells and the various parts of our body by going within and communicating with them and actually working with our bodies.
Yes, and one of the key phrases that you want to bring into that little simple 5-sentence handbook of how to release yourself from spell casting, one of those phrases is, I forgive myself. I'm sorry. I forgive myself. Because we all make mistakes. Our minds wander. Our thoughts wander. Our emotions escape our grasp. Look at all the poor people who are suffering right now with the results of our past election. They are traumatizing themselves, and they are continuing to generate energy that will be used to re-traumatize us for quite some time to come. I really wish they would stop.
Right. Right.
So let's forgive ourselves. Let's forgive ourselves for not being as awake as we would like to be.
Sometimes I have to do that several times a day.
Yeah, you bet.
Otherwise, the only option is something that keeps you stuck or mired down, which is guilt and fear, and then that just is a self-perpetuating cycle.
And it's so much easier to refocus our attention into blame rather than redirect it into forgiveness and self-forgiveness.
Yes, and then when we can't forgive ourselves and we're into the blame game, then it's much easier to point our fingers outward and blame other people and project our blame out into the world and say, well, they did this and they did that, and then we don't have to look at ourselves.
Exactly. We don't see how our hearts have been broken. We don't take responsibility for that or accountability for that. We don't take the time to have insight and understanding about the circumstances of the human condition that we can really change anytime we're ready, and appreciate the generations of broken hearts that have led to our own wounding.
So you largely see the healing process as one of healing the heart, is that correct?
Yes, I think that when we really begin to open up into that energy, all things respond organically from there with the least amount of resistance.
And that requires some ability to and willingness to look within and see. And many people who are traumatized don't remember some of their past experiences, and it's buried so deeply that it's like in a basement locked behind closed doors.
Well, the triggers are always available on the surface. They may have just become a very circuited, short-circuited route of feelings, numbed feelings, and heightened feelings that are out of balance. The triggers are always there. They're always there. It's just a question of really being able to feel them, and it's more about feeling than seeing.
Do you find that some of the situations that have occurred in a present lifetime may relate to lifetimes that go back thousands of years to our ancestors?
Yes, and beyond.
And beyond, yes, yes. And interdimensionally in other planets.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what about parallel realities and worlds?
Well, I don't know if we have time for that, Lance.
we'll have to do another chat.
All right. Oh,
that
would be lovely. I think that we really, when we're thinking about parallel experience, that instead of getting caught up in the bells and whistles of that, why don't we pull ourselves inward and appreciate the generosity of creation that gives us every potential to play out any possibility based on the conscious and unconscious decisions that we make.
Right, right. And of course, from what I can see, it's much better to bring the unconscious into the light of consciousness.
It's essential.
Right, right. And that's part of the where we get into trouble is the control mechanisms that come from the unconscious.
Yes, but there's so many people today who are doing brilliant work. We could call it shadow work. You know, you mentioned Sienna Lea. She has an astonishing program around working with shadow material. And quite frankly, it's in the unconscious shadow material where our electromagnetic charge is locked up and it is inaccessible for us to use for co-creating what we want. Mm-hmm. So that's part of what I teach in my course is what are your triggers? Let's go around and identify everything. Realize where you have agreed to hang on to what I call a fence that is a structure of limitation and a narrative that's keeping you from living as fully and abundantly as you might. And when we release those fences, everyone feels a shift in the magnetic, their own electromagnetic charge. Now you have become bigger than your problem. And as Einstein said, you know, we can't solve a problem from the same paradigm. Well, what does that mean? It means that your electromagnetic charge has to be bigger than the structure, the electromagnetic structure of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Which means that it's easy to dissolve it when that occurs.
You bet. It goes away. It's instantaneous.
Right. 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 So we have aspects of ourselves that are outside of time and that are outside of creation as well. Is that correct?
I would say that it's a wonderful place of stillness and potential. And we can have some sense of being in that place of stillness and potential, but there's no ego there. There's no friction, there's no ego, and so it's a resting place. It's like the pause between the in-breath and the out-breath.
So all of these points are like the spokes of a hub. So if you're working on, checking your ego as well as working on these other areas as well, they all kind of interconnect, don't they?
They do, and all this has a great deal to do with how your electromagnetic charge expresses itself in terms of organizing your energy field.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely all connected. And how you as an individual then interact with the human collective on the morphogenetic field level.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. It's just... We're getting there. We are really getting there. We are getting there. The children that are walking around today are amazing. The young people, the millennials, they are, it's amazing because this is so encoded in their DNA now because they've had moms Let me give a shout out to the women out there who are raising spectacular young men and young women who have empathy, who have a pathway from mind to heart. Without empathy, you have no pathway from the mind to the heart.
That's a very powerful point. Could you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I was born in Pasig, and I know a lot of people are, and that is a very powerful force.
Yes, it is, and it's meant to be. It's meant to be what lifts you if you find yourself temporarily lodged in a mind trap or narrative. Empathy will release you.
And the ability to see or feel through another's eyes is also important.
Yes, because then you're connecting, then you're in relationship. Then your resonance, your electromagnetic resonance, and your heart resonance begin to entrain.
Well, I would guess that if the military-industrial complex were more empathic and felt more and were awake, that we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, that's one way to look at it. I would say if we really realize our full empathic potential to awaken into our heart resonance, we wouldn't need the military-industrial complex. It wouldn't be there.
That's right. Is it possible that it would just simply vanish and instantaneously and transform into something different?
Of course it's possible. I hope you heard what I just said. Of course it's possible.
Yes. Yes, I love that. And also, the idea that we have to drop our bodies at the end of a lifetime, that's just an idea. Is it also possible that we can transform ourselves and not have to go through these incarnations into bodies and take our bodies with us?
Well, I think that's something that would be an individual choice and preference. You know?
Yeah.
Does your body fully mirror to you the consciousness that you know that you are? When you reach that place, the answer to that question will be yes. Right?
Right. So, right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, these, the beings that are soulless, that don't have that spark, do you have any feeling for the amount of that of people who are in that position? In other words, is what percentage of humanity would be in that category if you had to take a guess?
Oh, we have a lot of fragments walking around now because of the fourth dimensional false light paradigm that included heaven and hell in the process of reincarnation.
Uh-huh.
Where, you know, it's rather like a puppy mill. You keep breeding puppies from puppy mills, and eventually you get some pretty sick little doggies who won't live very long, right?
Right.
It's exactly the same. So we're continuing, you know, it's again, it's the spell casting. And God said, go forth and procreate. No, the prime creator said, go forth and co-create.
Right, right.
It's all in the details. So
wow,
anyway.
I love it.
Right? So we go into this space where we recognize that we have a whole light will paradigm. It was pretty well situated successfully in the mid to lower realms of the astral, which is the space of consciousness, an interdimensional space between the 3D and 5D. And for the last, at least since, you know, really, it's been beyond before 2012. It's been a long time now. That space and that light will paradigm has been intentionally been being deconstructed. So it is smaller. And one of the things that we're finding now is that when you're ready and you've done your bliss hygiene and you're ready to walk your bliss path, moving through into 5D awareness and consciousness and moving back and forth with grace, because that's what we want to do. We don't want to set up another spiritual materialism relay race where, you know, 5D is the prize. And if you're not in living in 5D, well, then you're just nobody. You know, we don't want to do that to each other. That's so unkind.
Yeah.
That's unkind. So we want to hold the open space and help people walk their soul path. Now, the soulless ones have an opportunity right now, and they should really take advantage of it instead of trying to construct immortal bodies. Mm-hmm. The soulless ones have an opportunity right now to get a pass, to go back, in a sense, to travel through the breakdown of that genetic line that resulted in the soulless being in the first place. Mm. They have a path to return to singularity, to prime creator, and to start over.
And that would require a physical death, is that correct?
Yes, it would.
And as from my understanding, they're doing everything they can to prolong their consciousness by technological means.
Yeah, well, that's not going to work out so well. So
No, it isn't. And we're being introduced to technology as well through being chipped and having all of these enhanced abilities and so on and so forth, when, as you say, we have them organically. We just need to awaken and use them.
And we just need to say no.
Right.
You can't vaccinate.
I don't want to be chipped. I don't want to be a cyborg.
No, I'm not going to be chipped. Absolutely no. My no. And that's where these intense emotions that some people who are, you know, the new agers are afraid to sneeze, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
The intense emotions are, you will not chip me.
Yes.
You will not vaccinate me.
Yes.
You will not mess with my computer. You
Absolutely.
Will not. I will not allow it.
Beautiful. I love it. And that's where we can put our energy and the forcefulness that we have for so many things that don't make a difference.
Right. And then you can flip that around and make it even more powerful. I am my body. I am the steward of my body. I am the steward of my technology. I only accept what I choose to accept from those modalities. Everything else has permission to leave my space.
Beautiful. Well, Anais, you know, this hour has gone by so quickly that we're right at the end of the show already.
Oh. No, how did that happen?
Well, we were in no time. That's what happened.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you for coming on tonight, and also have you mention your website and anything else that you like to mention before we sign off for tonight.
Oh, thank you. Well, I would like to say that I am through Rise Multiversity doing a conscious co-creation masterclass right now, and you can still enroll in that. And I have really, really broken down the process, the repeatable process of how to initiate a co-creation, all the steps, all the things that go into that, into a 7-week course. And so it's anyone can use it, and then you are inspired to take that information, use it for the rest of your life to co-create your life purpose. So I hope people will go on to Rise Multiversity and look for that. And I'm excited to say that I will have some things in the works. I'm going to be doing a retreat this summer of Sacred Master Key, where I will teach a small, very dedicated group of people some very advanced co-creative skills, and then we're going to be doing work out there in the world. So I'll have information about that up on my website. And there will be another retreat later in the summer on healing the beloved, sexual wounds, our path to bliss, and the co-creative union of divine feminine and divine masculine. So I think that might be interesting for your audience. So just check out my website.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing that, and I highly recommend your work, and I just want to say how much I appreciate you being here today.
Lance, this has been a delight, and I have listened to you, and I love all these people who are just bringing so much beautiful work into the world. As I said recently, we are the microwave for the popcorn of the popping a waking up collective. It's fabulous. Thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, thank you. And good night, Anais, and good night, everybody who's listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.